Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina al-Mustafa. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala al-ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Wa qala ta'ala Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Wa qala ta'ala واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزيدنا علما One of my ikram, most respected brothers and elders, this month of Ramadan is fast leaving us, few days left. Somebody can calculate in hours to perhaps. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this month of Ramadan for a purpose, as we have been hearing before the month of Ramadan, to achieve this taqwa, to attain this taqwa. And all this ibadat, this fasting, this sadaqat, was for the same purpose, to become connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mashayikh, they state that if we live our lives like the month of Ramadan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah, He'll bless us with the death like that of Eid, on the date Day of Eid, everyone is very happy, rejoicing. So in this dunya, we spend our life in accordance to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with a death like that of Eid. In fact, one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that لِصَائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ For the fasting person, there are two moments of joy and happiness. فَرْحَتُونَ عِنْدَ فِطْرِ One is that when he breaks his fast, every one of us, it's natural that we looking forward to that meal. And the other is farhatun inda liqai rabbi. Another moment of joy is that when a person meets his Rabb, meets his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the ibadat, all the sadaqat, all the tilawat. And this is the main thing that we should be worried about. One is we do the amal, and then we should be worried together with that of its acceptance. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to build the Kaaba. And after that, he makes dua that, Oh Allah, you accept it from me. So imagine what ikhlas, what sincerity he must have had in that amal. After all, it was a command of Allah. He was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can doubt his sincerity. But still, yet he makes dua to Allah that, Oh Allah, you accept. And together with that, in this last few moments, to engage in a lot of istighfar, a lot of begging forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our shortcomings and deficiencies in our actions. In fact, we are taught, even in salah also, towards the end, the dua is of begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira till the end. That we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So this is what we should be engaging now excessively in. Istighfar, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance. And we shouldn't lose focus of the sight, the objective of the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan, as mentioned, and we have been hearing before the month of Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, we'll continue to hear after the month of Ramadan about this taqwa, about this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In many ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this aspect of taqwa. And in many, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a command, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala some way or the other, He mentions it side by side with taqwa. Comes command of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ When Allah speaks about Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ When it comes to qurbani, to sacrificing of the animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيَنَالَ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِيَنَالُوا التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ When it comes to jannat also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises taqwa, promises jannat for the muttaqeen. When it comes to the other commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak correctly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَقُولُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا When it comes to our nikahs, when it comes to even talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ So this taqwa is a very, very important thing. And it's not only for the month of Ramadan. Ramadan was a training ground for us to achieve this taqwa. And the essence of this taqwa is to leave all sins, to leave all disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The poet says, خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى Abandon and leave all sins, minor or major, that is taqwa. So the essence of taqwa is to abandon and to leave all the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we have achieved this, then we achieve the purpose of the month of Ramadan. It shouldn't be like, for example, a person who goes for Umrah, then he performs all the ibadat, all the nawafil, all the sadaqat and tilawat, but he doesn't make the Umrah. So he lost the objective, he didn't fulfill the objective of his trip, he didn't make tawaf of Kaaba, he didn't make sa'i, then he didn't fulfill the objective, he hasn't achieved what he went for. So likewise, all this ibadat, that is throughout the year, and also this taqwa is throughout the year, but the objective of the month of Ramadan is how we can achieve this taqwa. So each one of us should check within ourselves, how much of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come out from my life, how much closer am I to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ, that stay away from all the prohibitions, then you will become the greatest worshipper. So this is the essence, how we can become obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, staying away from all sins. And this includes all types of sins. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do something, if we don't fulfill that, that's a sin. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to stay away from something, and we go ahead and do that, then that is also a sin, whether it's the sins of omission, whether it's the sins of commission. So this taqwa is all-encompassing. Whether it's fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those things which are necessary and compulsory upon us, if we don't fulfill that, then we are going against taqwa. And amongst the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first and foremost thing to be questioned is our salah. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us on the day of Qiyamah with regard to His right is salah. If the salah is in order, then everything else will be in order. And if the salah is found wanting, then everything else will be more difficult. So we should perform our 5 times daily salah with Jamaat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit wasn't to curse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was full of mercy, full of compassion. Yet on certain occasions he did curse. And amongst them was this, when in the battle of Khandaq, when certain salah were missed, this was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to learn that if perchance this happens, not intentionally, nonetheless certain salah were missed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that occasion cursed the kuffar. May Allah fill their bellies with the fire. We have missed the salah. So this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so dear and so close the salah was to him. If you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's very scary in the sense that when you look at the apparent words, then it gives us the idea that a person who doesn't perform his salah, then this person is not even a believer. Although the ulama will explain to us that if a person misses his salah, he doesn't become a disbeliever. Rather, if he rejects this commandment, if he continues his life in this way, then it's possible that he may end up losing his iman. But nonetheless, if you look at the apparent words of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it gives us this idea that a person is a disbeliever. So we should be very, very worried and concerned about our salah. This is the first right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. The last words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with regard to salah. Somebody is close to us, our parents, our siblings, and maybe our friend. And if he's about to leave this world, he gives us some parting advice. How we will hold on to that advice and we will treasure it. This is my mother's last wish, my father's last bequest. I have to fulfill it no matter what. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leaving this dunya and he's giving us advice that guard your salah, guard your salah. So this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then also salat with jamaat. This, unless there's obviously a valid excuse, we shouldn't miss our salat with jamaat. Wherever we are, in our business places, wherever it may be, if there's a masjid nearby, go and perform our salat with jamaat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned just now, that he was an embodiment of mercy, and he never ever wanted taklif to come to anybody. He shouldn't curse. But when it comes to salat with jamaat also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his desire was this, that he appoints somebody to lead the salah in the masjid, and he goes with some youngsters, and he gathers, and he goes to the people, to those people, the houses of those people who do not perform their salat in the masjid, and who burn those houses. If it wasn't for the women and children, they have to perform their salat at home, he would have burnt it. So this was how dear salat with jamaat was to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, a very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions something like this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed certain practices via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, known as the Sunan al-Huda. And amongst them is Salatul Jamaat. If you abandon it and you leave it, you'll become misguided. So this Salatul Jamaat, one is the Salah itself and Salatul Jamaat. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, in his last moments, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him, fulfilled his dua, he became a shaheed, and also in the beloved city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was stabbed in the Fajr Salah, and somebody came to visit him, Miswar bin Makhrama radiallahu anhu, and he was in this state. He came to visit him and he saw that he was unconscious, so he asked those around him, how is Amirul Mu'mineen? So they told him, you can see his condition. So he said that we must call out the adhan, or tell him with regard to Salah, that call out the adhan or something more or less like this, that nothing is more dearer to than Amirul Mu'mineen than Salah. Nothing will wake him up but Salah. No sooner they call out the words of adhan, or they call out about Salah, then Amirul Mu'mineen, immediately he wakes up and he says that indeed there is no share for a person in Islam who does not perform his Salah. This now the hadith, the explanation of the hadith was mentioned about a person who doesn't perform his Salah. Notable companions like Umar radiallahu anhu was of the opinion that a person who doesn't perform his Salah, he's not even a Muslim. So we mentioned this now, that it doesn't mean a person is a disbeliever, but nonetheless some of the senior Sahaba radiallahu anhu held this view. So Salah is the most important thing after our Iman. And then obviously together with that comes the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also part of taqwa, that we fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fulfill the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's system is this, that when it comes to His rights, Allah may forgive. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask anybody to forgive this person. Rather, it's a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah may forgive this person if he was deficient in his salah, if he was deficient in his zakah. But when it comes to the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then to gain the forgiveness of Allah, if he did somebody down, then we have to ask that person for forgiveness. We have to make amends. If we're owing him anything, then we have to give it back. The famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who is a muflis, who is a poor person. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum gave the normal answer, what all of us would have given. That a person who doesn't have any money, he doesn't have any dirhams, he doesn't have any dinars in our context, he doesn't have any rand, he doesn't have any dollars. This is what we will think. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't deny that, but he was teaching Sahaba radiallahu anhum that the real poor person, the real bankrupt person is that person on the day of Qiyamah, he will come on many, many a'mal, many good deeds, but because of not fulfilling the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he swore at somebody, he hurt somebody, he did somebody down, then all his good deeds will be dished out, will be given to those people who he did down. And as a result, eventually this person will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So we have fulfilled the rights of the creation of Allah. We have to fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this is in keeping with taqwa. So then we get the sins also of the heart. Many a time some things become so common that we don't even realize it's a sin. That jealousy, that pride, that malice. All our heart should be clean of all these things. These are also types of sins. And as mentioned earlier, that giving up sin is the essence of taqwa. So all these things have to come out from our lives. And this requires a great amount of mujahada, great amount of struggles, great amount of strife. As it is famously known that no pain, no gain. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that hujibatin naru bil shahawat wa hujibatil jannatu bil makarim. That Jahannam has been surrounded, has been veiled, has been ringed with the desires. And Jannat has been ringed, has been veiled with difficulty. So this requires mujahada from our side, it requires effort. Naturally a person, sometimes maybe he wants to commit that sin, but he holds himself. This is this mujahada. And upon this mujahada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those people who strive in our path, we will open the ways of guidance for them. So initially it will be difficult, but with time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us. The more a person pushes himself, the more a person holds himself back, then eventually that mujahada will become easier, and with time, inshallah, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person will begin to enjoy his worship, his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll find it pleasurable to fulfill the rights of the creation. He'll go out of his way. Not only fulfill the rights of the creation of Allah, it will give him happiness to put a smile on somebody's face. It will be give him happiness to help somebody out. So with this mujahada, initially it's difficult, but with time, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a pleasure to obey him. So what are this, now this month of Ramadan is finishing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated it for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala locked up the shayateen, chained the shayateen. After the month of Ramadan, the shayateen will be let loose again. So we have dual enemy, both the nafs and shaitan. So what are some of the things that will assist us in making this mujahada? So amongst the things, there are many things. One is the excessive dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the excessive remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and dhikr in all its forms. The tilawat of Quran, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah mentioned about him that he, in whatever way it was, that he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a dream that how do I become close to you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to him that it is through my book, that is the Quran. So whether it is with understanding or without understanding, this will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on this point also, it should be, all effort should be made to try and understand what we are reading. Imagine if a close friend of ours, somebody who is close to us, he sends us a message and we don't understand the language, then we will make effort to go and learn it, to see, to understand what he wants from us. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, Allah is our sustainer, Allah is the one who is giving us everything. So we should make an effort to learn the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consult the ulama to read different tafasir. There are many books also in English now. They are readily available and we can learn the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many authentic translations of Quran we should recite. One is we are reciting tilawat like that without understanding the meaning, but set a time in a day, that 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, to read some passage with the meaning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, it is famous about him that when he used to open the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should fall unconscious and he should say, this is the word of my Rabb, this is the word of my Rabb. So this is also part of the dhikr, the tilawa of the Quran. And one verse of the Quran is so powerful. Many incidents in the life of the salaf, of the pious people, starting right at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it changed their whole lives. Umar radiallahu anhu, before Islam, what a deed he was about to commit. And if he had committed that, where he would have landed up. But yet he became one of the greatest people of the Ummah. After Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it was Umar radiallahu anhu. He was about to kill and assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But through the Quran that he read, a few verses of Surah Ta'a, he changed his whole life. So this is the power of Quran. And many incidents in the lives of the pious people where the turning points, they were not on the path of guidance, not on the path going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one verse of Quran, when they took heed, they listened attentively, listened with an open heart, it changed their entire life. And so this is part of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the month of Ramadan, obviously we will not be on that level where we will be reciting so many juz of Quran a day. But we shouldn't give it up. At no cost, we should give up the recitation of Quran. This will be, as mentioned, this will assist us in making that mujahada. Then amongst the dhikr, is the masnoon du'as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam taught us many du'as from the morning till evening. And all these are connecting us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is we just read the du'a, but read it with the translation, read it with the meaning. Know what we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many du'as start with Alhamdulillah. We are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, whether it's eating food, when you are going to sleep also. There's many du'as, apart from the du'a that we all know, Allahumma bismika amutu ahya. There are other du'as as well. And Allah, Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa kafana wa awana, fakam mimman la kafiya lahu wa la mu'ya. There's no time to go into the translation. But we're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the food and all the other bounties. A person who takes refuge, or he gets refuge only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like that, there are many du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we have to learn. And the other adhkar Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us as well, specifically for the protection of shaitan. One is Ayatul Kursi, very, very effective, very, very powerful. There's a lengthy incident of how Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, made him in charge of the zakat in the month of Ramadan. And over 3 days, somebody was coming and stealing from that wealth. Every time he caught him, this person pleaded. He said, I'm desperate, I have needs, I got a family, and I'm really in need of this. Each time he reported it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that your visitor will come back tonight. It happened like this 3 times. Finally, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu told him that I will take you to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now it's enough. So this person told him that I will teach you something which will benefit you. And if you recite it in the evening, right till the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint a guard for you. And you will be protected from shaitan. And he taught him to recite Ayatul Kursi. So Rasulullah, he reports this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks him, do you know who you are speaking to all these days? He said, no, he doesn't know. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that this was shaitan himself. So this was shaitan himself. He's a great liar, but he has spoken the truth. This Ayatul Kursi is very, very powerful and very, very effective. So like that, many other du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach us to gain protection from shaitan. Then together with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are discussing those things that will help us make this mujahada, make it easier for us to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as mentioned, this is the essence of taqwa, this is the objective of the month of Ramadan. Then the shukr in all its forms, whether it's a verbal shukr, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our tongues. And in these masnoon du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many du'as are teaching us the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then from the bottom of our hearts, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the various gifts that He has given us. Our understanding, and acknowledging that we don't deserve any of these gifts. It is purely the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our understanding of shukr is this, that when if somebody asks us, we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. I don't know about you, mashallah. But we say, if somebody asks us, how is your day, or what, how is everything, we say, shukr, we can't complain. Shukr, not we can't complain. Shukr, from the bottom of our heart, we should acknowledge that we don't deserve the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is purely the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So daily, for a few minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, just reflect and think, how many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am enjoying, other people are deprived of. We are taught in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to look at those who are lower than us when it comes to the worldly bounties. Because if we do this, then we will appreciate the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we spoke about dhikr, then the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in many of these masnoon du'as also, there is the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who reflects over the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he acknowledges the bounties, it will create some shame in him. That all these are the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, we are insan, we are human being, we are prone to error, we will make mistakes. But when a person develops this consciousness, then immediately he will make tawbah. Then another thing to assist us in making this mujahada is to keep the virtues of various actions which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised us. We are human being, and our nature is this, that whenever there is some incentive, some reward, we are looking forward to go ahead and to do that. So like that in deen also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us virtues for many, many actions, whether it's our salah, whether it's fulfilling the rights of our creation, of the creation of Allah, whether it is our akhlaq, all these great rewards in fulfilling these commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you look at the laws of the country, then there's no reward if a person obeys the law. Rather, there's only consequences. But when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's great reward in fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then amongst the other things that we can do to assist us in making this mujahada is good company, good environment, good company. Famous incident of Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt was a great enemy of Islam. When he was once in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now there are different narrations, but in any case, he accepted the da'wat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam outwardly. Some narrations say that he invited Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a meal. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted on a condition that he accepts Islam. So anyway, whatever it was, he accepted Islam outwardly. But when his friend came to know about it, he said, I'm going to cut off all my ties with you unless you go and spit on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he went and did this. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in Quran, that he will be biting his hand and he will say, how I wish I never take this person as my friend. So this is the effect of company, environment, good friends. Person will remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great ulama ikram, the likes of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, used to sit in the company of pious people. Although they were greater in knowledge, not like us, they were greater, very great in knowledge. Many, many ahadith they knew, fiqh, etc. But they used to take out time to sit in the company of the pious people. So good company, good environment, person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in jamaat, or sits in good environment of the company of the pious people. And then to avoid the means of sin. Any one of us will understand that if we have a child at home, a toddler, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, if he got a knife in his hand, we'll immediately take it away from him, because we understand it's very, very dangerous. It can become fatal. This child can lose his life. So, to avoid the means of sin. So if that, for example, in our times, if this cell phone is becoming a means of us disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the evil that is taking place on the phone, if it means to give up that smartphone, then we'll have to give it up. We find this in the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum also, where the slightest displeasure they notice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one Sahabi radiallahu anhu comes in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's wearing a certain garment, the color of which Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam did not like much. So he realized this here. So what he did, he took that sheet and he threw it and he burnt it into the fire. So we can make excuses that, you know what, he should have given it to his family, or he could have did something else with it. He didn't have to go to this extreme. But this we learn from the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So if this phone is becoming a means of us disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if it means to break it, then we have to break it. We have to give it up. So this is avoiding the means of sin. Then also to read the incidents of the pious. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to him in Quran, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِي فُؤَادَكَ. That the incidence of the pious is to fortify your heart of the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So we should take out time daily to read the incidents of those of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, seerah of his life, of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Take out some time. The Fadal al-Amal is full of these incidents of the lives of, in English it's available, how we can take benefit and how we can draw lessons from the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They're also human beings like us. They also face the same challenges. Sometimes it is a person's parents, Musa bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. His own parents became a challenge. They kicked him out of the house. The person used to wear the best of clothes. He ended up wearing very inferior quality garments, sackcloth, sometimes thorns, to close up where buttons would normally be. This was Mus'ab radiallahu anhu. Like that, many, many other Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So to read the incidents of the pious, this will motivate us. And to reflect also, the other thing we can do to assist us in making this mujahada, to reflect on our own death every day, to reflect 2 minutes, 3 minutes, to make this meditation that one day I'm going to leave this world. Unfortunately, many times we find that even in the Qabristan, a person is engaged in worldly talk. That is the time to reflect. Every day, take out time, reflect on our own death, that I'm going to be questioned by the angels, that who is your Rabb, what is your Deen, who is your Nabi. That time, what we know, our knowledge, that's not going to help us. Whatever effort we made in this dunya to put that in our heart, that will come out. And we find the incidents of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the pious people. In fact, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that excessively remember death. Remember death in abundance. أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَدَّةِ. So, to remember death in abundance, this will become a barrier. A person who is tempted, but if his death comes in front of him, then immediately he will resist. Doesn't mean a person will not be inclined sometimes to commit a sin, or he might not be tempted. Maybe he will be tempted. He will be tempted. But if a person keeps his death in front of him, then inshallah this will become a break for him, that he will stop from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then lastly is to make dua for this, to make dua for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make dua to be his obedient slaves. And we find many duas of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this, to make dua for taqwa. Many a times we make dua, we only think of our worldly needs, but we forget our needs of akhirat. This is the most important. Yes, definitely a person should make dua for his worldly needs, but we shouldn't forget our needs of akhirat. Many duas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to ask for taqwa. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wal-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. To keep our heart firm, to keep us strong on our iman, to make us die in a condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. So these are some of the things that we can do to make this mujahada easier for us. And definitely life is a challenge. Sometimes we might slip after the month of Ramadan. It's going to be more difficult. The shayateen are let loose. But if we follow some of these advices, myself firstly, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us to obey all his commandments. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice. Subhanallah.